ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायस्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी Hare Krishna. Thank you, dear devotees, for giving the audience to Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. Also, thanks to our online students. So today we will be speaking from chapter 1, text number 20, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Observing the armies. So text number 20. Atha vyavasthita drishtva dhartarashtran kapidhvaja prabritte shastra sampate dhano rudyam pandava jishikesam tada vakyam idam aha mahipate. अथो व्यवस्थिता दृष्ट्वा अथो व्यवस्थितान् दृष्ट्वा धर्तराष्ट्रान् कपिध्वजः प्रवृत्ते शस्त्रसंपाते धनुरुद्यम्य पाण्डवः ऋषिकेशं तदा वाक्यम् इदम् आह महीपते. सो Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. At that time, Arjuna, the son of Pandu, seated in the chariot bearing the flag marked with Hanuman, took up his bow and prepared to shoot his arrows. O King, after looking at the sons of Dhritarashtra drawn in military array, Arjuna then spoke to Lord Krishna these words. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Purport. The battle was just about to begin. It is understood from the above statement that the sons of Dhritarashtra were more or less disheartened by the unexpected arrangement of military force by the Pandavas, who were guided by the direct instructions of Lord Krishna on the battlefield. The emblem of Hanuman and the flag of Arjuna is another sign of victory because Hanuman cooperated with Lord Ram in the battle between Rama and Ravana. The Lord Ram emerged victorious. Now both Rama and Hanuman were present on the chariot of Arjuna. to help him. Lord Krishna is Rama himself, and wherever Lord Rama is, his eternal servitor Hanuman and his eternal consort Sita, the goddess of fortune, are present. Therefore, Arjuna had no cause to fear any enemies whatsoever. And above all, the Lord of the senses, Lord Krishna, was personally present to give him direction. Thus, all good counsel was available to Arjuna in the matter of executing the battle in such auspicious conditions arranged by the Lord for his eternal devotee lay the signs of assured victory. So now, this is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. So we have been hearing from Sanjay. Sanjay is giving an update of the situation of the battlefield. Dhritarashtra wanted to know, after his sons and sons of Pandu came to the battlefield, what did they do after coming to the battlefield? So Dhritarashtra had the blessing of Vyasadev.
Clear.
Not loud enough. Now you can hear me? No. Better. Maybe, okay. Maybe I should speak like this. You want me to speak closer? Okay. Maybe my voice was not so good. Anyway, so what we are saying is, this is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, where we find Sanjaya. He had the blessing of Vyasadev, by whose mercy he was able to envision the fact what was happening in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Since King Dhritarashtra was a blind man and was very much curious to know what did his sons do and the sons of Pandus after being assembled in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. As we know from the first verse where Srila Prabhupada comments that he was a bit curious that my sons and the sons of Pandu have assembled in the place of pilgrimage. Dharma Kshetre, Guru Kshetre. So there might have, definitely there is influence of Dharma Kshetra. And the sons of Pandu are very religious. So it might affect them. He didn't want that there would not be any fight. At the same time, he wanted his sons should be victorious. So, he is very eagerly waiting to know what is happening. So now, Sanjay, he is giving the update. So he is just, you can say he is just like watching the television. He can see everything clearly and he is relaying the message to Dhritarashtra. In this particular context, what is happening? Just before this, the narration was given about the disheartened condition of the sons of Dhritarashtra. When they came to the battlefield and saw how expertly army arrangement was done by the Pandavas, especially Duryodhana was little bit afraid. He was quite suspicious about their victory in the battle. That's how he went to his spiritual master. He started talking to him, and now he cannot hide his fear anymore. Just by going and talking to his spiritual master, Dronacharya, he was not satisfied and happy. He wanted more mental encouragement. That's how he again approached Bhishmadev, and he started glorifying all the armies who were present by his side to support grandfather. And grandfather, he could understand very clearly that now my grandson Duryodhan, he is not going to come victorious in this battle. But since he has the duty to fight on their behalf, just to satisfy his grandson Duryodhan, he blew the council. He blew the council. Blowing of the council in the beginning of the battle is a sign of start of war. Now war is going to start. So that's the kind of, you know, sign, the message sends out just by blowing the council. So as the Kurubraddha Pritamaha Bhishmadev, he blew the council to draw happiness or smile in the face of Duryodhan. Right after that, all these Pandavas we have seen, including Krishna, they started blowing their respective councils. This is a kind of, you know, festival of war started just by blowing the councils. It is explained that it was uproarious, as all these, you know, members of the Kauravas, Pandavas, along with Krishna, they started blowing their respective councils. It felt like, you know, the festival of war has begun now. And it is said that it shattered the hearts of Duryodhan and the members of the Kauravas. Srila Prabhupada, he begins his purport, he says, the battle was just about to begin. It is understood from the above statement that the sons of Dhritarashtra are more or less disheartened by the unexpected arrangement of military force by the Pandavas, who were guided by the direct instructions of Lord Krishna on the battlefield. This is a very important point for us, that sometimes we have seen some unscrupulous people, they try to become victorious by some unfair means. They may try their level best to use their physical strength or mental ability, so-called intelligence, to exercise against the devotees of the Lord to become victorious on their way. But the point is, when Krishna, he stands by his devotee's side, no force in this world can defeat the support of Krishna towards his devotees. That's why there is a saying in Bengali that Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke, if Krishna wants to kill, nobody can protect. Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, if Krishna wants to protect you, nobody can kill you. So devotees, they understand this part very well. In this verse, Krishna is addressed as Rishikesha. Rishikesham tadavakyam vidamaha mahipate. Yeah, mahipate means king. Who is the king? Dhritarashtra. Here Sanjaya is addressing to Dhritarashtra as king. He is saying, my dear king, you must understand Arjuna, now he started speaking to Rishikesha. See, the way he is speaking, he is not saying that now Arjuna started speaking to Krishna. He is saying he started speaking to Rishikesha. Rishika means senses and Isa means master. Or you can say the one who controls the senses, or the one who sets the senses in motion. So, very interesting point actually. A devotee can understand this point very clearly, that when a devotee surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Krishna becomes the owner of that devotee. He owns that devotee. Means, you can say, the devotee's senses are under the direct control of Krishna. That's how the pure devotee of the Lord, they experience Krishna in every aspect of their life. Whatever they do, they can immediately remember, oh, this is Krishna's mercy. This is Krishna's mercy. Like, for example, you can take a very simple example. When a devotee, he is fed sumptuously, he immediately remembers, oh, see, Krishna is so beautiful. Because Krishna has accepted this offering, that's how it has come out, so tasty. In other hand, when a non-devotee, he eats a plate of food, he just remains satisfied with the satisfaction of the tongue and belly. How tasteful it appears to his tongue, and his belly is filled with that foodstuff. That is his satisfaction. But in case of a devotee, he is satisfied when he sees, according to scripture, how Krishna is being served. There is a nice evidence. One time, one Babaji Maharaj from Vrindavan, he went to a village, and he stayed in that house for a few days. Then one day, Babaji Maharaj, of course every day he used to cook, one day he decides to cook a feast for the deity. So he told the, you know, Grihakarta, the head of the house, that I need, you know, these are the ingredients to cook a nice feast for the deity. So you have to prepare, you know, get the ingredients for the feast. Some or other, the husband was not very much favorable, and wife was a devoted person. So she was kind of, you know, encouraging her husband, please go to the market, get the ingredients, Sadhu Baba is here at home, he will prepare a nice feast for the deity. So, because his wife started insisting him, so he went to the market without having any love. Because she is saying, I have to go to the market to get the ingredients. So he went to the market, he brought everything. Then after some time, as cooking started, Babaji Maharaj, he told, oh, there is no milk. I need to prepare sweet rice for the deity. Then wife goes to the husband. She said, my dear husband, now you have to go to the market again. Why? I have to go to the market again? What do you mean? I have brought so many things. This Baba is not satisfied with whatever I have brought. She said, no. You have not brought milk yet. You have to go buy milk because he wants to cook sweet rice for the deity. But this Babaji Maharaj, he wants to eat everything, whatever he likes to eat, that's what he is cooking. He likes to eat sweet rice, that's why he wants me to buy milk to cook sweet rice, right? he's going to issue it rice. He said, no, don't talk like this. Please go and get the milk from the market. So he was not happy at all. He was thinking, the Sadhu Baba is going to eat whatever he likes to eat. That is what he is cooking actually. He didn't understand the mood of Sadhu Baba. Then he went to the market, he bought the milk, he gave everything, and by noontime everything was ready. Then Sadhu Baba, he offered a nice feast to the Lord. And after offering was done, arati was completed, it was time for prasadam. Then Sadhu Baba, what did he do? He took little rice in his bowl and dal, little potato sabji. And he went to the corner of the room and he started honoring prasadam. Then wife is speaking, she said, Sadhu Baba, you prepared so many varieties of items, you should honor everything. Why are you taking little, prasadam, this little rice and dal, little potato, mashed potato, and you are not taking anything else? You are supposed to eat everything because Lord has already accepted your offering. You must honor prasadam. Then Sadhu Baba responded. He said, all these bhogas are meant for him. This is Raj Bhog. He is the king. So he can enjoy this offering. These offerings are not meant for me. Whatever is meant for me, I am just taking it. This is a clear evidence. And then, this is a fact actually. This is a fact. Then, wife went back to her husband and she reported. She said, look, you are blaming this Sadhu Baba. You are criticizing him, condemning him for cooking so many nice varieties of preparations for the Lord. Now you come and see what Sadhu Baba is eating. You are just simply condemning him. And then when he found that Sadhu Baba was simply honoring very simple prasadam, he got a lesson. Not only that, just after Sadhu Baba left his house, this person was attacked with a very, very severe disease. And he had to leave his body. Because he just for no reason started criticizing Sadhu Baba. He was thinking that as we people try to satisfy our tongue, our belly, so he is the person who is on that category. But here you can see a devotee of the Lord, his senses are fully under Krishna's control. He does not like to satisfy his senses. Whatever he does it for the satisfaction of Krishna. That's why here Sanjaya is addressing Krishna as Rishikesh instead of Krishna, because in one way he is indicating to Dhritarashtra that, my dear king, you try to understand. You don't think that Arjuna is doing whatever he wants to do because his senses are fully under control of Krishna. The way Krishna wants him to act, he is going to act. On the other hand, your sons are not, the senses of your son are not under the control of Krishna. Means not under the direct control of Krishna. They might commit some mistake. Never forget, Arjuna is not going to commit any mistake. Not only that, you can see Kapidhwaja. There is a sign of Hanuman marked flag. His flag is marked with Hanuman, Kapidhwaj. So that's also a sign of victory. Try to understand. There is no hope for your son's victory. Sons of Pandu are going to get victorious in this battle. There is a nice story explained regarding this. Actually, one time, Arjuna, he went to Rameswaram. You know, in South India, there is a place called Rameswaram. From where, Lord Ramchandra, he constructed a bridge to Lanka. So, one time, Arjuna, he went to Rameswaram. And as he went there, so he started talking to people there. He said, why Lord Ramchandra not build the bridge with arrows? Then a little monkey appeared before Arjuna. He responded to Arjuna's query. He said, you know, if Lord Ramchandra had to make a bridge out of arrows to Lanka, it would break. Arjuna said, what are you saying? You don't know anything. What is the power of Kshatriya? I am a Kshatriya. I know what is the power of arrows. Then Arjuna said, you know, I can make a bridge with arrows. Then monkey said, if you make a bridge with arrows, I can easily break it. Then there was a contest between Arjuna and that monkey. Then the monkey said, okay, now you can make a bridge with arrows, and if I break that bridge, if I cannot break the bridge, then I will become your servant. Then Arjuna said, if you break the bridge, then I will commit suicide. Oh, Kshatriyas are like that. Hanuman was ready to break the bridge so that he will not have to become servant of Arjuna. And Arjuna was thinking, I will make sure that this little monkey, he will not become successful in breaking that bridge which I am going to make out of arrows so that I will not have to commit suicide. So the contest began. Then Arjuna, he constructed a bridge out of arrows. And Hanuman, he broke it very easily. Not only once, but a few times. Arjuna started, you know, all his, he applied all his power, Kshatriya spirit. But every time, this little monkey, he broke the bridge. Now, time for Arjuna to commit suicide. So at that time, what happened? A little Brahmana boy, he appeared in between. And he said, no, this is not fair. That you both are, you know, fighting, there is no middleman. Need to have a middle person in between. So now I am here, I need to see. Let Arjuna prepare a bridge with arrows, and Hanuman, you try to break that bridge. Whoever become victorious, then the punishment will follow accordingly. I will give the judgment. Then this time, in front of that little Brahmana boy, Arjuna, he made a bridge with arrows. And this time, Hanuman, he was thinking, I can also, you know, break this bridge. But as he tried, he couldn't break it. And Hanuman, he started to expand his body to the highest limit. And he put all his strength to break that bridge. But this time, Hanuman couldn't break it. Then Hanuman understood, oh, he must be my Arshadam Lord. Then he exclaimed, Ram! Then he understood, here is my Lord. Then the Brahmana boy said, Hanuman, so there is no need to quarrel and fight between each other. As you have promised, you have to serve him. That's how it is said that because of that incident, now if Hanuman has come and occupied a place on the flock of Arjuna's chariot, and that's how we helped Arjuna, being his servant, to become victorious in the battle of Kurukshetra. There's another story also explained in Mahabharata. Because these pastimes of the Lord are eternal. These pastimes take place in different kalpas, so different narrations are there. There's another narration given in Mahabharata which explains when Pandavas were in exile. So one time Arjuna, he went for the search of celestial weapons, and all other Pandavas, they went to Badrikasram. There is Badrikasram in North India, it's part of Himalaya. So they went up and they were residing, what is that, Ramnak. So one day Mother Draupadi, she went for a bath in Alakananda river. As she was bathing, she saw 100,000 petal. Yeah, 1,000 petal lotus started floating to her. And it had a very nice sweet fragrance. As she got that 1,000 petal lotus, then she presented it to Bhima and she said, my dear Bhima, I want few more because I want to present it to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Then Bhima, he said, okay, so it is coming from up. So I can climb up the mountain and find the source of this lotus and I can get few more for you so that you can present it to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So then Bhima, he took the cloth and he started charging the mountain and clearing the trees and rocks and started climbing up. It is said no human being could go on that path. But Bhima, because he was very strong, so he started charging his club and cleared the trees, and he was terrifying all the ferocious animals in the jungle and clearing his pathway, heading towards the source of that lotus. After a while, he came to a spot where his road was blocked by a Hanuman, an old monkey. An old monkey was sitting on the way, blocking his way. Then Bhima was very angry, hey, monkey, clear the pathway for me. Monkey said, you know, I am too old. Why you are terrifying everybody in the jungle? Just sit down, eat some fruits with me. So Bhima became very upset. He said, monkey, I am telling you. Quite insulting to Bhima. Bhima is so powerful, and this monkey, the old monkey, asking Bhima to remove his tail because Bhima didn't want to climb up the monkey. This is against etiquette. So then Bhima, he grabbed the tail of the monkey with his left hand and he was trying to push it aside so that he can go on his way. But as he started, holding, and he hold it and he started picking it up, it appeared very heavy. He put his club, he used his second hand, with both the hands he tried to lift, still it was not possible. He put all his strength and he was trying to lift the tail of the monkey, but he was felled permanently. Then he understood, oh, definitely there might be some mystery behind. How come this monkey, such an old monkey, and that to move his tail is so difficult for a person like me, to Bhimsen? No. That time, this monkey, he revealed his form to Arjuna, sorry, to Bhimasen. And he said, actually we are brothers. My dear brother, I am definitely going to help you as I have helped Lord Ramchandra. I will be sitting in the flock of your brother Arjuna during the battle. When you will start roaring, I will also roar and my voice will join with your voice, as a result of which the opponent army will get heart attack by our roaring sound. That's how I will help you to destroy your enemies and you will become victorious. So that's how you can see in this verse it is said that Atha vyavasthitan drishta dhartarashtran kapidhvaja. Kapidhvaj, Arjuna's chariot flag is marked with monkey. And pravritte sastra sampate dhanurudyamya pandava. Now he is very much enthusiastic. He is ready to shoot his arrows. And Rishikesam tadavakyam. At that time, and this Rishikesh, very important thing. Rishikesh, if we try to become the devotee of the Lord, actually Lord takes the charge of everything. That's how the devotee said, Maro virakavi jo iccha tohara nitya dasa prati tva adhikara. You have full right on me, my dear Lord, because I am your eternal servant. I am your eternal servant. This is a very important point actually. Not only that Lord, he takes charge of the devotee. Like here Prabhupada is commenting, Lord Ramchandra and Hanuman both were there. And not only Lord Ramchandra and Hanuman was there, wherever Lord Ram is, Goddess of Fortune is also there. Narayan there means Lakshmi is also there. Narayana is never alone, or Lakshmi Devi is also never alone. So if you can please Lord Narayan, automatically Lakshmi Devi is there. And because devotee of the Lord Narayan is pleased, so he is also there. That means what else you need? This is the secret, that we, the devotee of the Lord, it's very difficult for us to please the Lord directly, but we can please the devotees of the Lord. If we please the devotees of the Lord, then he becomes pleased. Who? The Lord becomes pleased. When Lord becomes pleased, what you get? You get the favor of the devotees of the Lord, you get the favor of the Lord, and you get the favor of the internal potency of the Lord. See, and it's very important that it's not very easy to get the favor of the internal potency of the Lord. Brings pleasure to the cows and senses is situated in the heart of the Vaishnavas, means the devotees. And he says, Govinda kahena mama Vaishnava paran. Vaishnavas are my life and soul. So in that way, it's quite kind of natural in the conventional world also. You can see, if you want to gain the favor of the father, you start liking the son. What happened in case of Pratapudra? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would never meet with the king. He said, I am a sannyasi. I will not meet with the king. I cannot. He refused to meet with the king. And the devotees, what did they do? Sravdamdar, he decorated the son of the king just like Krishna. He decorated the son of the king just like Krishna. He was wearing yellow garment with nice turban, a peacock feather on his head. He was looking exactly like Krishna. When he brought that son in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was immediately reminded about Krishna. And he was very pleased. And he embraced that boy. And that's how father, the king, he got the embrace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gradually, he got the favor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can see, these are the kind of evidences that you want the favor of the Lord. You cannot get direct favor of the Lord without being favored by the one who is liked by the Lord. That's the secret of success in devotional service, devotee life. That's why our devotees, like our Rupa Goswami, he is giving this nectar of instruction book where he mentions about how important it is for us to have loving exchanges with the devotees. Why does he mention that? And also he explains that not only the loving exchanges that needs to be established in the devotee society, but also he explains how appropriate it is for us to have our relationships established with different levels of devotees. When you have established proper relationship with the devotees in their platform, accordingly you receive the benediction, the blessing of the Lord, and you progress in your spiritual life. They are the key to success. That's how, like here in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is directly controlling Arjuna. Because in next you will see, you will hear from Krishna, say, oh, bhaktosi me sakha jeti. You are my bhakta and sakha, friend. You are my devotee as well as friend. That's why I am speaking this secret to you. Well, how did Krishna become the chariot driver of Arjuna? Because Arjuna was his dear friend. He was his dear friend. Not only dear friend, he was his devotee. He was so dear to Krishna, even Rukmini Devi, she failed to understand how Krishna is so close to Arjuna. One day, at night, Krishna, he just now woke up from the sleep. And he started walking out of the bed, dead at night. And Rukmini Devi said, my dear Lord, where are you going now? It's dead at night. He said, no, I can't stay here. I have to go and meet with my devotee. You have to go and meet with your devotee? Who is your devotee? I am here with you. Still you are leaving me. You are going to who? Meet with who? He said, no, I have to go and meet with Arjuna. He said, what? Arjuna is more dear to you than me? He said, yes. You want to know? You want to know how Arjuna is more dear to me? Okay. You come and I will show you. Then Rukmini Devi, she followed Krishna. And both of them, they came to that place where Arjuna was sleeping. Then Krishna he told Rukmini Devi, come, listen. And as she put her ear near Arjuna's head, she could hear the vibration coming from Arjuna's head. Krishna, 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 Krishna. You can see? The devotees of the Lord, they have given their heart to Krishna. Even if they are in sleeping condition, even if they are in dreaming condition, even if they are in awakened condition, in all time, they are always with their worshipable Lord. And because here, Arjuna, he is so closely related to Krishna, that's how he is using Arjuna as a tool for us so that we can get the lesson and prepare ourselves to become good devotee of the Lord. Not only that, there's a very nice kind of, there's a significance behind why this first chapter appears in Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes some devotees are confused even. They say, well, actually, Bhagavad Gita starts from chapter 2nd, right? Krishna, starts instructing Arjuna about Atma Tattva, then, continues. So actually, Bhagavad Gita is starting from chapter 2. What is the significance of chapter 1? Why did this chapter 1 appear in Bhagavad Gita? After all, Krishna is not speaking anything, right? So, then, actually we have to understand why did this chapter 1 appear in Bhagavad Gita when Krishna, he didn't speak anything in first chapter. Sanjaya and Arjuna or Dhritarashtra, they are speaking. But Krishna starts speaking from chapter 2. Actually, even though Krishna didn't speak anything, there's a great lesson hidden in chapter 1 for us. That lesson is, unless a person becomes non-violent and compassionate in his nature, inquiry about self, Atma Tattva, does not arise in one who is not compassionate, who is not non-violent. That means, in this chapter, Krishna, he is acting as Rishikesh, so that he is creating that mood in Arjuna. That's how you can see afterwards, he will start giving off this fighting spirit. Now in this text, it looks like Arjuna is ready to fight, shoot his arrows. But now Rishikesh, he is going to motivate Arjuna's senses in such a way that he is going to control Arjuna's senses in such a way that he will start declining to fight. He will become non-violent, he will become compassionate. As a result of which, Krishna will get the opportunity to speak to him about Atma Tattva. And that is the qualification of the recipient of this Atma Tattva Jnana. Unless you become non-violent and compassionate, how big a devotee you may be, according to your own calculation, you may be claiming yourself as a great devotee of the Lord, but unless you become compassionate and non-violent, this knowledge about Atma Tattva is not going to become fructified in you. It's a very important lesson for us. That's how this first chapter appears in Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna is actually qualifying us through Arjuna's teaching to Arjuna that, my dear devotees, you are to understand the knowledge about the soul and super soul who, that is me, sitting in your heart. Okay, try to prepare yourself. Become my devotee. I will guide you. Gain the quality of becoming non-violent and compassionate to everybody. Don't try to fight. Don't try to find fault with others. If you try to commit off, and then this quality of non-violence and compassionate feeling will disappear from your life. You will, this knowledge about Atma Tattva or any other thing about me, any knowledge about me is not going to fructify in you, my dear devotees. Try to understand this. That's why I am speaking to Arjuna. That's why I am making all this arrangement. I am sitting in the chariot of Arjuna, I am controlling him to give you this lesson. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I think time is up, 8:30. So we'll stop here. Thank you all very much for coming and participating in this class. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki, Gaura Premanandi.